Yeshaya Perk Mem Gimel Pasuk Chavav Le'ilu Nishma Asavi Mori Pesal Dov Ben Avraham Nata, wrapping up an absolutely epic Perek that has said so much about the Din Torah that the non-Jewish tormentors of the Jews are going to be called to someday, about how their hypocrisy and their alleged witnesses to their own self-sacrifice are going to be disproven, about how nature itself testifies to God. And now finally, a little bit very hard to take, how Klal Yisrael fell down on the job and didn't deserve the atonements and forgiveness that we get because we don't make enough effort. Think about Tefillah when we mentioned earlier in the paragraph, Shimon Schwab on Bahu Racham, where we rattle off the words, but we don't think about what they mean. And maybe we don't even say all the words. Haskireini, Hashem says, remind me. Nishafta Yachad, let us judge together. So you're going to say, when you're complaining, when you're going through the Holocaust, when you're going through the Inquisition, when you're going through the terrible torments where we said at the beginning of the parak that Hashem saved us from water and fire, but you're going to say that we forgot your zechusin, that maybe your sins weren't so great, maybe they weren't so bad. Let's judge the truth together. Let's really sit down and look at the videotape. Let's look at the videotape, Warner Wolf used to say. Saper atol lama'an titzduk. State your case, vindicate yourselves. Rotro, when we get to the point where we are on the same judgment dock as the non-Jewish nations, and we already saw Rome and Paras and all the other nations in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel or Dalet, where they justify their behavior and HaKadosh Baruch Hu demolishes them by telling them the truth. You can't handle the truth. Well, now it's our turn. Chav Zayin, Avicha HaRishon Chata. Your earliest father, your forefather sinned. How can you say you have not sinned? Go all the way back to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon committed a chet. Even, apparently, and I'm not sure what the reference is to, Avraham Avinu is guilty of some variety of chet. The Ma'am Lois brings that down, but I'm just not sure what chet of Avraham Avinu we are talking about. I mean, Avraham Avinu is not listed in the Gemara Sanhedrin that lists the people who never committed Navera. Among them, I believe, Yishai, Avi David. Avraham Avinu is not one of the ones listed there. So presumably there is some kind of shortcoming. I know the Gemara identifies the way he handled Timnah, who eventually married Eliphaz ben Esav. He pushed her away when she was trying to come close, maybe on that level. Avraham Avinu's level, I can't even imagine. But there's an implication here that your earliest forefather still was human and misstepped. Umlitzecha pashuvi. And your spokesman, Melitz Yosher, right? We ask that everybody who's nifter, we ask that they speak for us. Pashuvi, they also transgressed against me. The generation, of course, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're in the middle, as I record this, of Sefer Bamidbar, which is just a litany of all the mistakes, misjudgments, misstatements, and horrible rebellions that Klal Yisrael ourselves, the Dor HaMidbar, the Meraglim, Korach, Aaron and Miriam to Moshe Rabbeinu, criticizing his personal life with his wife, everything, so many tales of devolving of Klal Yisrael. And this is the greatest generation, the one that had been worthy of being taken out of Egypt. Chavches, the final pasuk, va'achalel sorei kodesh. So I will desecrate your holy princes because of your sins. Holy princes are the spiritual leaders, the gedolim, great people. Ve'etno lacherem Yaakov v'Yisrael l'gidufim. And I'll give Yaakov over to destruction and Yisrael over to infamy. Even Moshe and Aaron, the first great Nesiei Klal Yisrael, were quote-unquote desecrated by the sins of the people. They couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. The masses of the people will be given over to destruction. That's Yaakov. And Yisrael, the material leaders, legidufim, to infamy. Everybody is going to suffer together because Klal Yisrael, Arevim, Zelazeb, we're all in it together. Rabbi Hirsch takes Avicha HaRishon, the earliest forefather, and uses that for King Shaul. He was chosen as a nugget, but he set an example for disobedience in the story of Amalek, in the story of keeping the sheep and the cattle for spoils because the people wanted it. Yaakov and Yisrael acting together not to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are in doubt as to our explanation of Umalitzecha Pashuvi, maybe unworthy Kohanim who rebelled against him. Like Uriah, a willing tool of King Ahaz, who built Mizbechos based on the gods of Ashur. The general theme of these psukim is to stress the ease with which a whole population can be infected by the germ of rebellion against the Torah, caused by the sad example of irresponsible leaders. Such aberrations ultimately destroyed the Jewish state and drove its people into exile. And Rabbi Hirsch is writing this at a time when a new Jewish state was never even thinkable to that generation. The generation that was about to go through the Churban Europa that is unimaginable in its unbelievable scale and terrible suffering. So here is Rav Schwab and his point at the end of this parak, which is, as I've been leading up to this and advertising it, just chilling. Once the aura of holiness is removed from Yisrael, from its leaders, the enemies of the Jewish people do not hesitate to initiate actions of annihilation or vilification of the Jewish people. At this point, says Rav Schwab, a personal memory concerning this pasuk comes to mind. On Shabbos, April 1st, 1933, I was in Darmstadt in Germany. The Nazis instituted their infamous boycott of all Jewish business establishments and offices throughout Germany, from major cities to small villages. The boycott was organized by the Nazis down to the finest details: pickets, signs, insults, slurs of Jews. Saturday was selected, Saturday, April 1st, 1933, because that was the busiest shopping day of the week. It never occurred to the Nazis that Shabbos was the Jewish day of rest, because most Jewish business establishments were open for business on Shabbos. Because of fear of what might happen that day, we went to shul Shabbos morning at 6 a.m., so we would be finished and back home by 8 a.m. when the business day would normally begin, so they wouldn't be on the streets. This occurred on Shabbos Parshas Vayikra. And the Haftorah of that day was from this parak of Yeshaya, beginning, Amzu Yotzarti Li Tilasi Yisaperu. As the Haftarah was being read, the words of the Navi thundered that, Na lacherem Yaakov, Yisrael agidufim. I felt at that moment as if the Navi was speaking directly to us, there in Germany. As the result of our averos, especially that of Chilul Shabbos, God put Yaakov into a cherem. The Hebrew word for cherem is boycott, or the Hebrew word for boycott can be cherem. And Yisrael was reviled and insulted. I have never forgotten that feeling. Imagine a boycott of Jewish businesses on Shabbos. This itself is the biggest shame to the Jews. The Jews are mechallel Shabbos, and they are being boycotted on Shabbos. That day went down in infamy in Jewish history as the boycott Shabbos, and was really the beginning of the end of Jewish life in Germany. In 2020, Parshas Vayikra came out on March 28th, 2020. For those of you who don't remember, the week before, on March 21st, there was already an awful lot of conversation happening about shuls that were closing and about shuls that were staying open. I went to my local shul on Friday night, and a whole group of us were standing outside arguing about this pandemic that people were talking about, this COVID business. Was it really serious? Those people are crazy out in the five towns. They closed all the shuls. Why aren't the rabbis in Brooklyn closing all the shuls? What are we talking about? Why are we going? Should we go? Should we not go? Attendance was very bizarre that week. And I went to all the davenings on Shabbos, and I went to davening Motzei Shabbos, and it was a lot smaller than usual at my neighborhood shul. And then we went home, and then Shabbos, March 28th, we weren't permitted to go to shul anymore. And it turned out the pandemic closings, the lockdown, complete lockdown, without allowing minyanim at all, 10 people, 12 people, was all of Sefer Vayikra. It began on Parshas Vayikra, for those who didn't start it a week earlier, Vayakal Pekudei, and it ended Bahar Bechu Kosai with the Tochacha that we missed because none of us were going to shul for the Tochacha. And I remember one of my rabbis, Rabbi Yeldworth, gave a shmuz about there had to be something absolutely important about Sefer Vayikra, Taharas Hashem, right? Toras Kohanim. That we missed the purity of Vayikra and Shul and the Minyan and Laning. And that was what was decreed upon us that year. But if you think about the first Haftorah we missed, it was this Haftorah. And if you think about that phrase, Ve'etno Lacherem Yaakov, Yaakov will be in Cherem. What happens when you go into Cherem? What happens when you go into Cherem? You can't be with a minion. You can't be with the Kehillah. You are banished. You're in your home. It came true in 1933. It came true in 2020. We need to pay attention. I don't know that there are more historical events that go back to Shabbos Vayikra, but there seems to be something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that it's going to be visible to us when Yaakov is put into Cherem. And if that happened and we were alive for it and we didn't change from the pandemic and we're back to our old ways and we're not somehow different and new, then we're missing the point. It was very important to me that year because I was laning Vayikra to myself every Shabbos in my house or in my driveway. And I wondered why. What's important is that we not stop wondering why now. We have to remember that panic. We have to remember that fear, that feeling. We felt like the famous story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Sukkos, where the servant brings water to the master, and the master throws the water in his face and says, I won't let you in my sukkah. When Hashem makes it rain on Sukkos, it's a message to us. When Hashem takes us out of commission on a Shabbos, when we say, Vayisal Cherem Yaakov, then there's a message to us. So I've been sitting on this one for a while, and I'm sorry, I went way over time today. We live through a once-in-a-lifetime event, hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime event. If we do not come out of it changed, if we do not come out of it different, if we do not come out of it committed to all the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu says earlier in the parak that we are demanded to do and required to do and been born to do, then what did we get out of this? And we will be called to task later in that Din Torah that is mentioned back earlier in the previous psukim, where Hashem says, Haskirenini shofta yachad. Let's sit down, let's remember, and let's judge together. Let's look at things with an analytical bent and look at the facts. And the facts, we need to change now. We were given a warning 3 years ago. If we haven't learned anything since then it's time that we learn something now. So that's the end of my stump speech. Have a wonderful day. More and shorter over the next couple of days as we move into Perek Mem Dalet.